My name is Galen Morgan. I'm with Texas A&M University. I work for Texas Cooperative Extension. I'd like to recognize my colleagues, Dr. Jim Highholt, Russell Sutton, and Alan Smith. Jim Highholt and Russell Sutton are at the Dallas Center with Texas A&M, and Alan Smith is with the NRCS. So this is kind of a unique project where we have several different organizations working together. I am, my training has been as a state small grain specialist. With the increase in biofuels and things like that, my department head asked me to take on some of these responsibilities. So I've taken on the responsibility for some of the cool season oilseed crops for Texas. Approximately 20% of our motor fuels is diesel fuel. That equates to about 40 billion gallons per year. If we crushed all the soybeans produced in the U.S., these are statistics I think from last year, about 3.1 billion bushels, that would equate to about 4.5 billion gallons per year. So barely over 10% of our total diesel needs that we currently have. So that's kind of the impetus behind looking at some of these alternative cool season crops, because we know that soybeans, although the yields are high in the Midwest and some places in the South, the percent oil is about 20%, so we just can't get that high yields per gallon or gallons per acre out of soybeans that maybe we can out of some of these other oilseed crops. Also, another reason we're looking at these is many of the oilseed crops that were planted, that we're looking at again, were actually planted back in Texas in the 40s. And early 50s. And a matter of fact, in Texas, we had over nearly 330,000 acres of castor being grown in Texas. And in the late 40s, we had nearly 350,000 acres of flax being grown in Texas. And we're looking at all these things again. These are the biodiesel plants across the United States. I'm focusing on Texas here in particular. But in Texas, there are about 15 plants that can produce 126 million gallons of biodiesel per year. And there are 10 new plants currently under construction. So there's a driving force. We're getting a lot of questions from the producers. We're getting a lot of questions from industry and trying to figure out the economics of this biodiesel industry. The major oil crop currently grown in Texas is cotton, but the oil from the cotton seed has another use, and that usually goes into the dairy and or the as livestock feed. So it's basically too expensive to feed into the biodiesel industry. Soybeans in Texas, we're usually lucky if we get 20 bushels per acre, and there's about 250,000 acres of soybeans, I think, in the state. Sunflower definitely has potential. One of my colleagues, Jörg Blumenthal and Russell Sutton and a few others, and Jim Highholt are looking at sunflower. Peanut definitely has potential, and possibly even sesame. But for this presentation, I'm going to focus on these bottom ones here because they are the cool season oilseed crops. Canola and rapeseed, we think, have the greatest potential at this point in time, and that's because breeding efforts have been underway to develop some varieties. The closest breeding program to Texas is actually at Kansas State and in cooperation with Oklahoma State. But canola and rapeseed have about a 40% oil content compared to soybeans, which is about 20%. We can also feed the meal fraction to livestock, at least from canola. It is a cool season annual, so it fits in very well with some of the other crops that we're growing in the state. The cool season makes it adapted to some of the more arid parts of the state on the high plains and West Texas. It is small seeded. It has indeterminate growth, and all these cause some logistical problems as far as planting and harvesting. We think we're going to have minor problems with pests at this point in time. The major problem we ran into with the trials I'm going to talk about today are harvest maturity and shattering at or during harvest. Some of the cool season crop trials we actually did in Texas, there have been some studies conducted in producers' farms on the Texas Gulf Coast over about the last 3 years. Their yields have typically ranged from about 1,000 pounds up to 1,800 pounds per acre. Not necessarily good yields. And the rolling plains yields there have, that's around Vernon, Texas, Wichita Falls down to Abilene. That area about anywhere from 800 to 2,000 pounds depending on rainfall. But there is some promising results coming out of Oklahoma. A lot of their canola results are showing anywhere from 1,500 up to 4,000 pounds per acre this year in some of their trials. So we're hoping with the learning curve, once we learn a little bit more about this, we can get some of the yields up in Texas and find some varieties which are adapted to Texas. The oilseed trials that we conducted this past year in Texas, in North Texas here, there was a planting date trial of about 40 entries, canola trial. Just north of Waco, we had another trial, the exact same trial. Down in College Station, we had a trial which consisted of canola, rapeseed, yellow mustard, camelina, and a few others. And that same trial was conducted down in Houston also. The trials I'm going to talk about today are the ones from Dallas, the planting date trial, the Waco location, Houston. The location in College Station actually got flooded out. Generally speaking, the plots were about 5.5 by 15 feet, three or four replicates in a randomized complete block design. The target seeding rate for the canola and rapeseed was about 7 pounds per acre, camelina shooting for about 3 pounds. The soils range from heavy clay soils to sandy clay loams. We did the stats using ANOVA and LSD. This is a pretty busy slide, but this is our North Texas location where Jim Highhold and Russell Sutton did the work. They had a planting date study up there where they had a mid-October and an early November planting date. Those are the mean yields across the approximately 35 to 40 entries. September planting date obviously better numerically, but there was no significant difference between the September and October planting date. So the graph that you're looking at here, that's the mean of the September and the October planting date. Yields on your y-axis and the varieties on the x-axis. You can see the experimental numbers. These are Arkansas lines developed by Dr. Bacon's program. You can see they did very well at that North Texas location, being the top four or five entries, or top yielders. Then we get in some of the more released varieties, including Jetton, Ceres, Wichita, and Sumner, which tend to do very well in Kansas. We did have a lot of variability at all these locations, again, primarily to shattering, and also because we haven't done these trials before, so there's been a pretty steep learning curve with getting these things harvested primarily. Waco location, again, we had about a 35-entry trial, and these are the same, just the top 9 or 10 here. We see the Arkansas varieties didn't do quite as well looking at the first 9 to 10 entries, but still we had a couple here that did very well at Dallas, and they also did very well about 60 miles south of there. Bald Deer is the only hybrid variety here. Sumner did quite well. Virginia, and then we see the only Roundup Ready variety we had in this trial that was in the top 10 was this DKW 1386. And then Wichita, again, kind of a standard in Kansas, was near the bottom of this list of 10. The Houston location, which was just west of Houston, this actually included canola, rapeseed, and camelina, and yellow mustard. This was a nightmare to harvest and a nightmare to deal with. And if you look at the LSD values, you can tell that it was that. So I'm not real impressed with our ability to harvest these, but this not only included the different species, it also included spring types and winter types. So we had about over probably a 5-week maturity in these different mustards here. So that was pretty challenging because the location was about 2 hours away. So we had to sort of compromise. We couldn't drive down there weekly. We drove down there twice and harvested more or less the spring types and then later more or less the winter types. The top yielders down near Houston, this is Jim, which is a rapeseed out of University of Idaho. It's also a imidazolinone resistant variety. Sterling is also a rapeseed. This Clearwater is a spring canola variety, which did very well. Then we get into the yellow mustard, and the camelina variety is just a selection from David Baltensberger program. And then basically these other ones here are the winter type canolas and or rapeseeds. So basically in these southern locations, we're trying to figure out exactly where to have the break between spring type and winter type. We think we can probably take that line up to Waco and plant spring types in the fall and have those survive the winter, and we'll probably have the highest yield potential. This is just a picture from our College Station location. Like I said, it flooded out, and you could look back here, and that entire area was flooded out. But this is one end that did okay. And the point I just wanted to make here was the difference in maturity. The Sunrise and the Sterling are some spring types, while we have the Wichita canola there, which is obviously still flowering, while the other ones have more or less mature pods on them. So that's something we're dealing with. We've initiated this trial at some other locations this year, and I'll talk about that in the next slide. But one of the biggest challenges we're facing, at least in that central part of Texas and South Texas, is whether to go with the spring types or the winter types, trying to get an idea of what the vernalization requirements are for the winter types. But it's critical to select some varieties, whether spring type or winter type, that we can basically get the yields up. The yields we had in all these trials are really not going to be competitive with wheat, corn, cotton, and sorghum that they can grow in these same areas, especially considering the current commodity prices out there. Also, we're going to take some additional steps during the harvesting process to minimize shattering. We figure at our location in Waco, we probably lost 30% of our yield due to shattering, despite our best efforts. And then the location down near Houston, it's really hard to say how much shattering went on there, but an awful lot, mainly due to the difference in maturity of those spring types and winter types. And the point here I just made, basically, we're going to have to get the yields up of these crops if they're going to be competitive with our more traditional commodities. For 2007-2008, we've initiated a fairly large trial, about 40-plus entries across the state, and we have those up in the High Plains of Texas and in Dallas, where we're planting the winter types as winter types, and we're planting the spring types in the spring. As you get down to these South Texas locations, College Station, all the way down to Weslaco, we're planting the spring and winter types in the fall and treating them as winter types. And we'll hopefully we'll get a good idea of the yields of canola, rapeseed, camelina, flax, safflower, and we also have some mustards and some radishes in there. And those of you who may be weed scientists, we also have field pennycress in there. So that's actually one they're looking at for oilseed production. So it's going to be a unique trial. I would like to recognize the Department of Soil and Crop Sciences. They're basically funding this project at this point in time. My paycheck comes from Texas Cooperative Extension, and we had technicians and guys contributing to it in harvesting, primarily Daniel Hathcote, Ben McKay, and Leo Rivera. And last, like I say, this is the first time I've ever done this. If any of you have any advice, please, please find me and tell me, because the learning curve has been steep on this, and I don't want to reinvent the wheel. So if any of you have any input, I'd be glad to hear. So with that, if you have any questions, I'll be glad to try answering them. Yes, sir. We will be doing that next year, but we didn't do it on any of these trials this year. Oh, the question was, did we do a fatty analysis on the different canolas and rapeseeds, and we did not conduct those trials. And we're also, some of the colleagues at the university are also looking at the co-products from the rapeseed as to what we can actually do with that co-product, since you can't feed the rapeseed meal. Yes, sir?
When did you plant the trials?
I'm sorry. Very important. The question was, when did we plant the trials? All the trials were planted in the fall. At Dallas, they had a September, October, and November, and the other locations, it was about mid-November, which was probably a little late, but that's when we got all the seed in for those different species. The target date would be about 6 weeks before first frost. And at the Dallas location, that November planting, that's what happened. It came up. We had a relatively hard freeze the first week in December, and it destroyed the crop. Yes, sir? The question was, have a visit with Dick Auld, and we have. He's working on this project, the map there. So the safflower varieties we have, they're supposed to be winter or cold-tolerant varieties. Those are all Dick Auld's safflower varieties.
Paul Raymer
I have not visited with him, no. But I'll put that on my list. That's actually been one of the more exciting things about the project. It's been intimidating, but exciting. I've visited with lots of folks from Montana State, North Dakota, Manitoba, Canada, Idaho that, you know, I've never met before, and had long conversations with them on the phone about these different things, and they've all been very supportive and sent seed and things like that. So from that regard, it's been a very positive experience. So, yes, ma'am. The question was, with the camelina, was it basically short season enough that we could double crop it? And it has the most potential of all these. The camelina, we only had one selection last year, but it was more or less probably 2 weeks earlier than most of the other mustards. And down at the Houston location, it was probably, could have been harvested probably late April. So that would open the window up for cotton and sorghum for sure in that area of the state. So the farmers are actually really excited about the camelina even more so than some of the other species we're looking at.
Let's thank Galen.